For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, September the 3rd, 1995. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Golden of Belize Central America is the speaker of the morning, our missionary to Belize and Cuba.
We first met the Goldens, so far as I can remember, at a World Map camp meeting at Big Bear, California, in either 1966 or 67, somewhere there.
I was there, brother.
And we were there to record the meetings. They had asked me to come up, Irma and I to come up, and for me to record the meetings. And that's where we met Brother and Sister Golden. And that's where they received the very first offering we ever gave them was there. Irma was impressed to. She had some checks in her pocketbook from Lockheed, where she was working as a. I don't know if she was a secretary then, or she was, if she had graduated past that. No, I don't. Anyway, that's immaterial. And anyway, and she, I believe, she took a couple of checks out of her pocketbook and signed them over to Brother and Sister Golden. And ever since then, we never realized that we would ever come to the town where that was their home. And here we are living in their hometown, their home, while they labor in Belize. But I think they went to Belize right at that time, or had already been there, or went right after that, or to Mexico anyway.
We were already in Mexico.
You were already in Mexico.
Later, we went to, just not long after that, we went to Belize.
Yeah, you already were laboring in Mexico. Well, anyway, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to have the Goldens with us and to be part of their support as they labor now not only in Belize, Central America, but now also in Cuba. The Lord's opened the door for them, and they're laboring in Cuba. And they can go there without any problems because they go right from Central America. They don't go through have to have a clearance from here to go, and the Lord is blessing there in a mighty way. Brother James, come and minister to us this morning the word of the Lord.
Isn't it wonderful to be in these meetings?
Yeah.
The psalmist David said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that went down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that descended to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." If you know Spanish, in Spanish it says, "Mirad cuán bueno y delicioso es habitar los hermanos juntos en armonía. Es como el buen oleo sobre la cabeza y bajó hasta la barba de Aarón, que bajó hasta el borde de sus vestiduras, como el rocío que desciende sobre los montes de Sion y como el rocío que desciende sobre los montes, porque allí Jehová manda bendición y vida eterna." How many of you understand Spanish? But two or three of them raise their hand. One of them, poquito. I'd better stay in English.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. It's wonderful how our God is moving in these last days, just like He said He would. It's wonderful how He is penetrating barriers, removing obstacles, dissolving things like the Soviet Union, breaking down things like the Berlin Wall, penetrating the Iron Curtain that is beginning to be torn down from around Cuba and around China. Our God is a wonderful God. He said He would rebuke strong nations and many people, and they would beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation would not lift up sword against nation, neither would they learn war anymore. He's told the church to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come. There's one brother I heard of got his scriptures a little mixed up. The scripture said they'd beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and go out into highways and hedges and compel them to come. And he really didn't say what he meant to say. He said, the Lord said, go out into the highways and hedges, take a sword and a plowshare, and beat the prunes out of them and force them to get saved. That might not be good grammar, and it might not be just rightly dividing the word. Oh, but the spirit behind it is great and mighty, isn't it? Praise God. He's wonderful, isn't he? Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we preachers that God calls to speak different languages, well, we have to be familiar with the scriptures in English, have to be familiar with the scriptures in Spanish. We have to have two or three different vocabularies all at the same time. We have to be functioning both at the same time. When the preacher is beside us, we're interpreting for him, he or she speaks in, we'll say, English. Then I have to go to my Spanish vocabulary right quickly and bring it out of the database right quick. And so I have to be concentrating on what's being said. I have to hear and understand what's being said. You can't interpret anything you can't hear or understand. So then you got to concentrate on that. You got to deeply concentrate on what's being said. And, you know, if there's nobody else listening and paying attention to what's being said, if they all have sleep, the interpreter has to listen. That poor fellow has to get up there and listen to everything that's said. But then you have to concentrate also on the Spanish vocabulary and bring up exactly what he or she says in Spanish. And you have to concentrate on the anointing of God and flow with the Spirit. Well, anyhow, God is God that giveth the ability. He said, if any man speak, let it be of the oracles of God or with the ability that God giveth. Yeah. Lots of times we get excited. Sometimes coming from where we speak mostly Spanish and having to get geared back to speaking in English, well, I'm likely to talk English to you in Spanish sometime. I'm liable to translate it out of Spanish and the way we say things down in the jungles and call it back to you. And we might get just a little jumbled up in our quoting of the scriptures. It makes me think of a little lady I heard of in St. Louis. She wanted to be very faithful to go to church. She learned how to quote several scriptures. And when she wasn't too much afraid or excited, she could quote them right just most of the time. One of her favorite scriptures was, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. To get home from church, she had to walk through some dark alleys where cool cats are known to hang out. And so one night she was walking along there, and sure enough, the thing she greatly feared came upon her. There was a big, tall, dirty-looking hippie guy with a big beard. Grabbed a hold of her and jerked her blouse loose and began to tell her what he was going to do to her. And of course, she was very frightened. She tried to remember her favorite scripture, he shall cover thee with his feathers and under his wings shalt thou trust. She was so excited, her mind could not function properly to think of that scripture. The only thing she could think of was feathers. She began to scream, feathers! 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 The power of God came down and the anointing of God flowed. That man got so scared he couldn't stand it. He took off running. Last thing she heard, he was going way down the alley stumbling over garbage cans. She pulled her loose blouse around her, still in her excitement. Walked all the way, rest of the way home saying, God, thank you for your feathers, Lord. Thank you for your feathers. Isn't he a wonderful God? I want to tell you that I love each and every one of you. It's a great joy to be here. After being out of the United States for 2 years and then getting back among people you love, It is just so real, precious, and wonderful. I had in mind different things that I wanted to do before we left Belize to come this way. And my dad lives down here in the little town of Sparkman, just a few miles south of here. And he's about 85 years old, can't get around too good. His eyesight is failing. He says that if you stand out in the light and he sees one of his children, he can recognize who they are, but he can't hardly see how to read. And I kind of wanted to have my own little celebration with him. So I said, Dad, let's go have a steak together. Let's go, just the four of us, you and my stepmother and Merlene and me. So we went to Bonanza. It was the first time in 2 years I'd been to Bonanza. First time in 2 years I'd been alongside of anything you call a salad bar. Don't get me wrong. I haven't any sob stories. Our Father is rich, our Heavenly Father. He takes good care of us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. But there I was. I told Dad, I want to order a 12-ounce T-bone steak. Why don't you order one, too? I'm going to pay for it. I got enough money. He says, you know, my old stomach can't hold as much as it used to. I think I'll have to be satisfied with just an 8-ounce steak. He got his 8-ounce steak, and then there I was. It was just such a precious time of fellowship with dear old Dad. With the feet under the table, it made me think of so many years gone by whenever we was family around the table. And there I was eating the juiciest steak I ever ate in my life, having one of the best times that I ever had in all of my life. Don't you think that was wonderful? Well, that was in the natural. Of course, God bless my spirit. But here we are having a feast at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And we with our dad, we are at his table. We have our feet up under our master's table, and we are feasting and we are dining with the King. My soul was yearning just to get with my dear old dad in the natural, and my soul was yearning to get with people that I love. I wish I could just go down through the aisles and hug every one of you and just show you how much I love you and appreciate you. Isn't God wonderful? Before I go too far along, I want to tell you some about Cuba, the way God opened up the door for us to minister in Cuba. But you can tell I'm excited. Amen. I'm just sort of beside myself. This, the goodness of the Lord and just the joy of being here in another Lake Hamilton Bible camp. It's just so exciting. You know, in the book of Daniel, it tells about the last days. Several things. Good, great promises about the last days. Where one thing was that the angel told Daniel that they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, great works. And Jesus spoke to us concerning greater works. I think of athletes. I have watched athletes on television, watched some of the Olympics. I think it was last year, I saw a man win the world record in skating. He skated faster than any man has ever skated in all the history of the world. I saw the woman who had run faster than any other woman in the world. You know, it's just really thrilling to see somebody in the natural do that. I have read some from the Guinness Book of World Records. Anybody ever hear that book? It tells about, you know, the tallest guy, the shortest guy, the tallest woman, the shortest woman, the person that's run the fastest, the one that's hollered the loudest. A lot of different things. I remember reading about the tallest woman, seeing her picture and several different things about her. And I remember reading about the shortest woman. Now, I'm sure it would be thrilling to you if the tallest woman in the world could come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Wouldn't that be thrilling to you? Are you half asleep? Are you out there? Oh, I hear you now. Okay. And I read about the shortest woman. She's just about 2 feet tall. Grown woman. She was sort of stocky. What she lacked in height, she sort of made up with it in you know, roundness. I really don't think the tallest woman in the world will ever come to Lake Hemwood and Bible Camp. I don't think the shortest one in the world will ever come. But I want to tell you of one that has come. The sweetest woman in the world, named Merlene Golden, is here with us today at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Praise God. People like to hear me talk about miracles that we've seen on the mission field. Every once in a while, I feel free to tell some of them. But one of the greatest miracles, if not the greatest miracle, is when God gave me a wife that could put up with me for 34 years on the mission field and endure all the hard conditions and still remain victorious. I wonder if it would be proper and in order if I allow my precious wife, the sweetest woman in the world, as far as I'm concerned, to come and say something to you this morning. You in a hurry? They said, it's all right, Marlene. You're on.
$20 bill.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what she's going to tell you. This is the woman that keeps me straight. Or at least tries to. Tries to. Hold it up close like ice cream.
I don't like ice cream. It's a real privilege to be here again in Lake Hamilton, to be home. You know, we were watching television when the Oklahoma bombing happened. And two or three nights after that, we were watching TBN, and they had a lady give her testimony of how she was supposed to have been in that building that morning. I'm sure some of you heard her testimony, how that they had prayed and interceded all night for her, and how that God kept her from going. After the scripture that one of her friends gave her was Psalms 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. This lady told her, says, that is your 911. Says, hang on to it. After we went upstairs and went to bed, the Lord began to deal with me about 911. You know, we've heard the song, Satan's in the phone booth, dialing 911. Brother Golden got the Bible, and we begin to look up the scriptures through the Bible. Now, I'm not going to quote all of them or read all of them, but there is a few that really stood out to me. One of them is Psalms 9:11.
9:11.
Sing praises to the Lord, which in Zion, declare among the people his doings. Another one is Luke 9:11. This is a healing 911. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Another one is John 9:11. This is for the blind. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received my sight. Another one is Proverbs 9:11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Another one is when the children of Israel were delivered from the Egypt at the Red Sea. Nehemiah 9:11. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deep, as a stone into the mighty water. So we don't have to have a natural 911. We can have spiritual 911. Anytime that we need anything, it doesn't exactly have to be a 911 scripture in the Bible. All we have to do is call upon God, and say, Lord, I need you. So whatever we need, let's call upon God. In January, the Lord gave us the privilege of going into communist Cuba. When Brother Golden began to talk about going, I didn't think I was going to go. But at the last, I decided to go. And going to Cuba as a highlight of our missionary work. That was the greatest missionary trip that we had ever made. Now, we've been to several countries, but going into Cuba was the highlight of the missionary work. I said, Lord, you waited until we got old to give us the best. But the Lord knows when we need something great in our life. And I would like to tell just a few things, how the Lord worked out every little detail on our trip into Cuba. We flew from Belize City to Cancun, where we met two American brothers. We flew on a real small plane. When we got to Cancun, we were supposed to meet them at the airport. Well, we got there and couldn't see them anywhere. So Brother Golden told me to stay with the luggage. He was going over to make reservations to fly to Havana the next day. And as he walked around to the airlines, there was the two brothers, just at the right appointed time. We went to the hotel, spend the night that night, and it was a very expensive hotel. They had made all the reservations from here. And they said, you know, said, I think we could find another hotel that would be cheaper than this one. And they got the telephone book, and the first hotel that was in the telephone book, they called and made reservations for us when we flew back from Havana back to Cancun. And this hotel has something special about it. And in a few minutes, I'll tell you that special thing. We went to Havana, saw a great need. They're very, very limited in food, clothes, shoes, and bathroom tissue. You can hardly find any there. In fact, if you go to Cuba, be sure to take it with you. And soap was very scarce. The family showed us one bar of soap that they were allowed, one bar per month, per family, to do all their washing, their dishwashing, and their bathing. And if you run out, you just run out. You had to take a bath the best way you could or wash your clothes the best way you could. But we found a people that loved God. We found that young people that were really on fire for the Lord. You know, for 30 years, the young people were forbidden to go inside of a church house. If they did, they were sent off to a camp to teach them atheists. And in 1986, the brother told us that they were praying for a revival to sweep over Cuba. And the churches began to pray, began to fast, and a revival broke out in the land of Cuba, and the young people began to flock into the churches. And there was nothing that Castro could do because there were so many of them. The churches are filled with young people. About 80% of the people are 30 and under. And it's a marvelous thing to walk into one of the services, to see all the young people, most of them up front, leading the services, with their hands raised, speaking in tongues, jumping, shouting, dancing. That just did something great in our heart and in our life. These young people, or everybody, had to clap their hands like this because there was no room out here to clap your hand. There were so many people packed into the churches. So many people at the doors, all the windows were filled. Somebody trying to get in or trying to hear the word of God. It was marvelous. We went from one place in Cuba to the southeastern part of Cuba. We saw God move over there wonderfully. And on the way back, there was a brother, a Cuban, elderly Cuban brother with us. And he was the one that was going to take us around and show us different places. and he was to take us to the airport so that we could fly back to Mexico. And he said, I had a toothache so bad I could hardly stand, to hardly move. And he said, I thought about going to have it pulled, but said, I knew if I did, I wouldn't be able to take you brethren back to the airport. And on the plane, coming back from southeastern Cuba to Havana, he said, I felt like I needed to sneeze. So he got his handkerchief out of his pocket and put it up to his mouth. And when he did, he sneezed, and that back tooth came out. He didn't need a dentist to pull it. And the greatest miracle of all was not one drop of blood came out with that tooth. It was marvelous what God can do. He didn't tell us on the plane that this had happened, but after we got on the ground, he told us, and we began to really worship and praise God for that miracle. Well, we left Havana and flew back to Cancun, and we, James and I, didn't have a reservation back to Belize. So we began to look around for the airlines to find out which one was going to take us back to Belize. And there was no airlines. There was no way that we could fly back to Belize. And then we began to think, well, I guess we're going to have to catch a bus. We got a taxi to take us to the hotel. And when we got to the hotel, as the taxi drove up, he says, there's a bus station. And that was why the Lord had gave us that hotel, because the bus station was right there by the hotel. And after we got our things in the hotel, we went over to the bus station and made reservations to go back the next day to Belize. And this was one of the fanciest buses we had ever seen. There's not one in the United States like it. Greyhound doesn't own one like they have there. And it was marvelous. But we got on the bus at 9:30 in the morning, got to Chetumal, which is the last city in Mexico. We had to check out through customs. And we got off of the bus, got a taxi, and took us over to another bus station. And there was a bus that was fixing to leave for Belize City. We got on that bus. We had 10 minutes from one bus to the other. We got on that bus and went across the border, checked into Belize, and we went to Belize City. We got there about 5 minutes to 7, and Brother Golden got a taxi to take us to another bus station, to take us to our home. And 5 minutes to 7, we got on the other bus, which left at 7 o'clock, and we made it home about 10:30, 11 that night. And as we were going up the hill to where we live, the Lord dropped the scripture into my heart. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. The Lord bless you.
Well, God joined Merlene and me together in holy matrimony here in Hot Spring, down on Spring Street. There was a preacher by the name of Robert Boyles that tied the knot. And we have the honor of having him and his precious wife, Mary, with us here this morning. Will they please stand up so the congregation can know the fellow that tied the knot? Now, he's been my pastor a lot. We've been in lots of services together, and I have to behave myself and say things right because he's here checking up on me. Well, God is so wonderful, isn't he? Isn't it marvelous what God is doing?
Yes.
And he uses whomsoever he will. Whomsoever he decided beforehand that he was going to use. The ones that he was going to use, it wasn't a quick decision he made as a result of something we did. But it was his plans before we ever knew to do anything. After Merlene and I were married, she never had met any of my wonderful relatives. She never had met any of those that are not quite so wonderful either. We kind of got in a discussion, you might want to call it an argument, over who came from the furthest back in the sticks. So For a while, I felt like I was winning the argument. So I decided I would take her back in the sticks from Kingsland, Arkansas, where I was born. And so we got ready and took off down south of Sheridan, down Highway 167. And so I was going to impress her and take her through some of those back roads, log roads, you know, show her the beautiful timber. And I made the wrong turn. Made a big circle and wound up back on Highway 167. So far back in the sticks that I got lost trying to get back there again. Then I kind of realized I'd made the wrong turn. Whenever I made the right turn, well, we, you know, got back there. And she actually saw the place. We went back where they used to stand the little log cabin. And I was born in that little log cabin way back in the logging woods. And my mother and daddy had 13 children, and she met most of them. And she had the pleasure, if you want to call it pleasure, of meeting practically the whole bunch and a lot of my nieces and nephews. Well, anyhow, she continued her part of the discussion. She said, "Well, I came from further back in the sticks than that. Where I was born, it's a lot further away from the main road." I says, "It couldn't be. Couldn't be." So sometime after that, we decided that we'd go out that way. She decided that we would go out that way. And she didn't exactly get lost, but I thought she was lost. And because I was. And we wound around some of those roads back out from a little town of Point Cedar, kind of between Bismarck and Amity, or put it about 30 miles in this direction, if I'm pointing right. Well, anyhow, we got back there, and she showed the place where the old home place was. And I humbly had to admit that she came from further back in the sticks than I did. You know, God knows what he's doing. There have been times that I wondered if he knew what he was doing. But he said God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. Chosen foolish things. I used to think I didn't qualify, Lord. God, I'll just be an embarrassment. I'm such a hick. Lord, I'm such a hillbilly. Well, you know, who wants to listen to a hick preach or a hillbilly preach? Jeremiah tried to make that argument with the Lord. And evidently, according to details that you read about the year that this happened and that happened and something else happened, Jeremiah must have been around 8 years old when God called him. And God told him, "Say not that I'm a child. You shall go everywhere to every place that I send you, and you shall speak that which I give you." God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and base things of the world, things which are despised, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. I said, "Well, God, if that's what you're looking for, I qualify. Here I am. Lord, send me." In 1 Peter, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Praise God for a lively hope that we have. If we hope only in that which we see around us, we would be of all men most miserable, it says in Romans 8th chapter. But if we hope for that which we see not, we do with patience wait for it. This morning I got up to come to the prayer meeting. Instead of coming at 6, it was 5:15. My wife says, "But you're going too early. There won't be anybody here. There won't be anybody there." But I got here, and there were several people already here, really seeking God, really ready. Isn't that wonderful? People that really seek God. I began praying right here on my knees, feeling after God, searching after the mind of God, searching after the will of God while I was there. Did you ever stand upon the beach of the sea when waves were coming in and look out and see far to the horizon and see the waves are big here. You see them as big. The further out you see, they're smaller. Until you see out to the horizon, you just see a flat plain out there, even though you know there's waves out there. While you're looking this way, you can see out of the side of your eyes here. I didn't see the ocean when I was looking, but the vision I saw was people. God gave me a vision of people. And up close, you could see the people well, and far off, you could just see that there were people. And then as far as I could see, like a horizon, there were people. And in the vision, I could see to the right that as far as I was aware of anything to the right, there were people. Brothers and sisters, we have seen trouble in the land. I could tell you of troubles and trials and tribulations on the mission field. Time will not permit. I don't have to quote all the many statistics of how the crime rate has increased 600% since 1960. The rate of abortion has increased so much. If I wanted to, I could get a piece of paper. You've seen other people do that and go down the list. God is letting us see beyond all of that. God is letting us see what He is going to do in spite of all of that. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John said, I saw a number that no man can number. Let me tell you, the devil is raging and roaring just like the Scripture said he would. There is trouble in the last days just like the Scripture said he was. But let me tell you, our God knows what He is going to do. He knows what He planned before the foundation of the world. Whenever before He built the world, He could look over and see what I saw in the vision. I was seeking the mind of God, and God let me know that before He ever built the earth, He could look over whenever all is finished, and He has a number that no man can number out of every nation, every tongue, every kindred, every tribe, and every people. I'm glad to be a part of that. I'm glad to be a soldier in the army of God. I'm glad to be drafted or called to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold of eternal life. It's thrilling to work for the Lord. We are begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God sees beyond what we see with our eyes in the present time. We see new world order forming. Does any of you here think that the world's situation or the situation in the United States is going to get better in the next, that the trend is going to change drastically, or do you think other things are going to happen? But brothers and sisters, we belong to God. We are His church. And He has said, read it, study it in the Word of God, what He has said He is going to do with His church in the last days. If I could only see just the hardship, the chaos, the dread, turmoil, panic, tribulation, and that's all I could see. I'd do just like the prophet Daniel did. Now, God knew why He sent the angel to Daniel that way and why He presented it to him in that order. God allowed Daniel to see all the trouble and the trial and the chaos, and it wasn't real quickly that the Lord let him see beyond all of it. And Daniel said, I fainted and retained no strength in me, and not cogitations much troubled me. Anybody in here got any cogitations? I don't know for sure if I really know what that means, but I think I do. I think he was shaking in his shoes. I think really he might, if he had a guitar and he knew rock and roll, he might say, come on over, baby, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And he fainted and retained no strength in him, but oh, praise God. Listen to this, look at this. The angel came and touched him, and he said he received strength, and the angel told him to stand up on your feet, and I'm going to show you. And all the angel then, after he saw
the horribleness of what the devil can do. He saw the glory of God revealed and how that it should all be put under the saints of the feet of the saints of the Most High God. Oh, glory! How can you keep from shouting? Can you say praise God?
Praise God.
Can you say thank you, Lord?
Thank you, Lord.
I believe you can do better than that. Why don't you raise your hand and just give God glory for what He is going to do for His purpose in the earth. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Daniel saw, the angel revealed to him, that all the kingdoms of the earth, all the greatness of the kingdoms were given to the people of the saints of the Most High God. The saints of the Most High God possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. We've got some forever to look forward to. Somebody asked me, how old are you? 58. I'm 58. I don't try to keep it hid, you know. It doesn't do any good. I think I show it. Different people that guess my age, they guess a little older than that. It's not because I'm really all that old. I've got more miles on me. That's like an old car. I've got more miles on them than lots of other folk. And I've been out in the tropical sun quite a bit longer than the average folk. But anyhow, you know, some people ask me, how old? And they ask you, how long you reckon you're going to live? People have asked me that, you know. Do you think you're going to live in Belize all the rest of your life? How long do you think you're going to live? You know what I tell them? I'm figuring on living for as long as God lives. I'm figuring on living for as long as Jesus Christ Himself lives. I'm figuring on living that long. I don't know a lot of things has happened to this body. I don't care what happens to this body. This body ain't me. You're not looking at me. You're just looking at where I stays. You know, where I live, you know. I don't know what's going to happen to this body. That's not the me. This is not the me. Let me tell you, what you're seeing right here is going to be changed. Praise God. And it's going to rule. And the real me is going to live. Jesus told a certain little lady to comfort her. He told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Hallelujah. Believest thou this? Oh, praise God. Praise God. For whatever happens to the body, I don't know. It might go into the ground and dirt be covered over just like a lot of other bodies. If the Lord sees fit for that to happen, well, praise God. We read in the Revelation, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth, for their works do follow them. Be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. He said, precious in the Lord is the death of His saints. And I'm sure He was just talking about the body. About the body. I'm planning on being around here for a long time. I'm planning on being in that number that no man can number. When the knowledge and the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters covers the sea. We want to put some of that way out yonder in the future. But God's a right now God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. If you say someday I expect to receive a visitation from God. Someday I expect God to bless me. Someday I expect God to help me. Someday I expect God to heal me. Someday I expect God to deliver me. Well, thank God for a hope that someday, because there's some people who say, no way. You ever hear him say that? No way, no way. Thank God you're not saying no way. But let me tell you, whenever God moves upon you and you can reach out in the right here and now and say, God, right here and now I choose to believe you. Anybody that gets anything from God, they got to have a right here and now experience. God can come along right now and give you the assurance of your work and your labor for Him. Between now and the time that number that no man can number is going to be revealed. In the Garden of Eden, God could have kept that slick, slimy, sneaky snake from wiggling and squirming through the garden. He could have kept him from doing that. He could have said, boy, I'm going to build a hedge around that garden. I'm not going to let you get in there. God knew exactly what He was going to do. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it. He could have kept him from it. Why did God let him go there? The Lord was looking at that number that no man can number of redeemed people. If Adam and Eve would have been shielded like he shields the angels that are created in innocence and are kept in innocence and they don't know what it means to be redeemed, if God would have kept them in that state, you know, he wouldn't receive the glory like he really wants. He wants the glory. Well, when he gets a number that no man can number from every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, and people that worship him around his throne, of those that have been redeemed from the curses and redeemed from the earth and redeemed from mortality and forever and ever and ever eternally glorified with Christ, when he gets that number, God had that in mind before he ever set it in motion. I was seeking the mind of God. He let me know this morning what he had in mind. I just a little while, I saw the vision. I said, Lord, that's it. God, we read about the beast, the false prophet, the Antichrist. God could smite the Antichrist to smithers. He could cause every false prophet to dissipate into the obscurity of oblivion. It's pretty bad, isn't it? He could keep any new world order from ever forming any order. He could keep it from ever happening. Jesus told his disciples about all of these things that were going to happen. He did not leave them in the dark. He does not want you and me to be in the dark about the fact that there is great tribulation already in the earth and there's more tribulation coming in the earth. We cannot deny it. But he does not want us to be afraid of any of those things. Jesus said, "See that you be not troubled." Don't let anybody trouble you. Anybody. Whenever I was a young preacher, I used to like to trouble people. It was fun. I got a kick out of it. God spanked me for it. Jesus said, "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must needs come to pass." I think if you say that in modern English, it's necessary that all these things happen. God has his purpose of letting it happen. In the book of Revelation, we read about overcomers. That's what God wants. I mean, out of all that happens, all the different things you happen see happening in the book of Revelation, I don't claim to understand it all. But the conclusion is overcomers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. He that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life is in the midst of the paradise of God. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Since God is so thrilled at his people overcoming, well, he gives us plenty to overcome. And if he wants to do it that way, praise God, let me at it. If he wants us to overcome the devil and give us grace to overcome the devil, let me go at it. Let me have it. Praise God for his anointing and his authority and his power for the church in these last days. He's made great and mighty promises to us. When we went to Cuba, God was dealing with me at least a year. God was speaking to us concerning a new direction that he was going to send us, places he never had sent us before. I forget that I've got this. Since years gone by, God has given me the ability to speak the Spanish language. I never went to school one day in my life to learn Spanish. I did go to school, you know, to read and write a few days, a little bit, some. You might not be able to tell it, but God was reminding me that it was him that gave me the ability to study and learn. And he let me know with the ability, he was giving me the responsibility. The Apostle Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." So I began to say, "Lord, I've had you this. As many as the Lord loves, he rebukes and chastens." So he loves me. He loves you. He's jerked me up and given me some good spankings. I don't want any more of them. I want obedience rather than sacrifice. I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." So anyhow, when we surrendered to God, I let people in the States know that we were going to Cuba. Two brethren from Oklahoma called, and David White and Don Landers from Fort Gibson, Oklahoma. They said, "Could we possibly go to Cuba with you? Would be a burden to you?" And I said, "No, come on, let's go on and see what the Lord will do. We're just going to get acquainted anyhow. I've never been over there before." I have to make it brief. God gave us a glorious time of acquaintance with Cuban brethren that had suffered the tribulation of communism and atheism. We talked to some that had been taken to concentration camps. We talked to some that had been put in prison, that had been held under suspicion since they had connection with people in the United States and churches in the United States. Government officials took them and they went through everything in their house to see if there was any notes or anything that would connect them with the CIA, because anybody that was a church person, because being a church person meant that, you know, since God has used the North American church so much around the world, you know, I mean, there's the connection right there. So the church was a direct target of, and it was horrible, some of the things that some of those brethren told us that they went through. But you know, God is greater than communism. God is greater than atheism. And God began to intervene. A lot of the things you hear about Cuba and about Fidel Castro, you just hear the bad things. You just hear the things that the United States News wants to report and wants the public to hear. When we got there, we got to hear direct from the Cuban preachers. And one particular service that we were in, we told one of the leaders, look, we want to hear you preach and speak and express what God has given to you. And I'll sit back here over here with these Americans, and I'll hold my hand up here like this and try not to disturb. And what you say, I'll interpret to them in English. So I did. And it was there we began to learn some of the things that they had gone through with, some of the horrible persecution that they had gone through with. And one Cuban brother told us that in one particular church, it was a larger church auditorium, I believe it was larger than this, if I'm not evangelistically speaking. So, he said that there were only about 30 people going to church there. Communism wanted to get rid of the church. The idea of communism, probably you already know it better than I do, but they wanted to get rid of all the classes of people and have one class of people, according to their theory and their analysis of history, that religion is what has caused most of the problems of the world, fighting and war and poverty and strife. And according to Karl Marx's philosophy, religion is opium for the people. Well, I agree with old Karl Marx. Religion is opium for the people. But Karl Marx never did know what real salvation is and the real power of God. And that's not opium for the people. It's a reality of God. Those brethren in Cuba that had undergone such persecution were crying out for God to move, and crying out for God to come and intervene. Their little children were being forbidden to go to church. And in the schools, they were being taught atheism. In order to get a job with the government, you had to vow that you were an atheist. Can you picture people living in a society like that? But they stayed faithful to God during all of those times of trouble and trial and tribulation that they were going through with. Men and women of God that stand the test like that, they're worthy to receive God's authority and God's anointing. They said they began to pray and intercede. This one Cuban brother told us that he knew of a Nicaragua, preacher from Nicaragua, that everywhere he went, there was revival. And he wanted him to come to his church. And he tried to get him to come and couldn't get him to come. He later found out that the preacher from Nicaragua had a prophetic ministry or something like that, and that he knew where God was sending him. God only sent him where the conditions were right. It wasn't because the preacher brought revival. It was because God showed the preacher where the conditions were right, and he went there. So he said, let's get conditions right, basically what he said. He said, brothers and sisters, we're going to start having a revival. They didn't announce who we're going to preach. They said, we're just going to start having a revival and get together and seek the Lord and have a church and trust God to move and to bless. So they began to get together after they had prayed and interceded so very much, and with tears and with prayer and with fasting, with crying out to God day and night. Then God began to move by a mighty anointing of the Holy Ghost and power like a rushing mighty wind that set upon them. The children got so interested in it, you could not keep them away. Fidel Castro couldn't keep them away. Communism couldn't keep them away. The threat of being sent to a re-education center couldn't keep them away. And they begin swarming into the churches. This is one thing that they don't tell on the United States news. This one Cuban brother told us that Fidel Castro himself sent out an announcement to all the church leaders that he wanted to get them all together. So as many as they could got together. They didn't know exactly what he had in mind. I really think somehow or other God had got a sword or a plowshare and had beat the prunes out of that guy and had knocked some sense into his head or something like that. God's dealing with it. I've been praying for him for a long time. So he told the church leaders, he said, "You are the real heroes of our revolution." You see, he knew that he couldn't stop what was going on. So the way I got it figured out, he wanted to appear that he was the good guy that was, going on ahead and allowing it to go on. Look, if he would have told them, "You stop right now, all that that's going on," he wouldn't have fazed them one bit. He knew he couldn't. He can't stop God. He can't stop the move of God. So he told them there. I was interpreting for this one brother that had the elders in that particular church were present. He told them, Fidel Castro told them, "I'm going to give you more liberty and freedom to have service." See, up until then, they were only allowed to have service in churches that existed before communism took over. That was a long time ago. And he says, "I'm going to let you have services in other places. They can be houses. We're going to allow you to make certain houses available for you to go and occupy those houses, pay the fee, and we will designate them. Everywhere you have service, it has to be designated and registered as a place of worship." Now, all over Cuba, there are many, not church houses, but house churches. We were privileged to go to several of them and speak and witness. I took my violin and played it everywhere I went. They wanted me to hear, play it everywhere I went. And part of the time I did some violin playing, and then part of the time I did just some plain old fiddling, you know. And it seemed like they wanted the plain old fiddling more than the violin playing. But we didn't go to Cuba just to fiddle around. And we knew that it was of God for us to go there. Marlene and I, God has abundantly supplied us abundance. We have never had any church organization, any salary promised us. Nobody, no Social Security, no kind of check promised us from anywhere. Nobody. Ever since we've been in the ministry, it's been that way. But we've got exceeding great and precious promises, and God has helped us to every one of them. And he has provided for us so very miraculously and taken care of us. Sent his angels to take care of us and to help us. But the brethren that went, this one brother's pastor of a pretty good-sized church, and some of his members are, pretty good givers and pretty good workers. Praise God for wage earners and business people that are willing to help. If it wasn't for that, buildings like this wouldn't exist, and church buildings wouldn't exist, and a whole lot of the work of the gospel is there because people like you give. God bless you for everything you've ever given. You're real missionaries. Just because you're not out there on the front line, you that give and help, God is blessing you for it. You're the ones that kind of behind the line that's going to receive a great reward in that number that no man can number. Brother, we were shown places where the Cubans that are very poor. My wife has given you a little bit of detail about how poor they are. And they've got several thousand dollars. My wife and I haven't been able to get maybe a few thousand dollars we could get together to buy one building that they're willing to sell for $5,000, concrete block building, so that they can, have it, turn it over to the Cubans so they can have it for a place of worship. But these brethren, the last account I heard, they have over $15,000 together. And according to the building and the program that they had outlined, it's much more, quite a bit more than what they really needed to do what they need. Very poor Cubans, they're not able to build buildings and branch out like they would like to. But anyhow, it's not by might nor by power. It's not the almighty dollar that gets the job done anyhow. But praise God, God moves and bless and fills people's hearts with compassion. There was like my wife was telling, that Soap is very scarce. They showed us a bar of soap, and they said that one family can get one bar of soap a month. Sometimes a bar and a half. They say they cut the bar in half, you get that one bar and a half. I talked to one guy on the streets of Cuba, and he told how scarce soap was. And he said, what I do, I take red clay mud, and it lathers. And I, when you lather that and then wash it off, then, you know, you're fairly clean. And he lathers himself with the red clay mud. That's the first time I'd ever heard that. When you hadn't got any soap, you know, you have to do something. Need to do something to, you know, get yourself out of a bad personality situation. A lot of other things is rationed and very, very scarce. This one brother told me, he says, if you have any deodorant with you, would you please leave it with me whenever you get ready to go, if you have any left over? I started telling brother, you really do need it. You really do need it. And I felt like telling him, you know, since soap is very scarce, those people in their spirit have such a wonderful personality, but whenever you get next to them, you know, you can detect other parts of their lack of soap, you know. And I started once to tell the brother, you know, I wish somehow I could fill up the baptistry of your church and take all of your church people and baptize them in some good deodorant, you know. But anyhow, I felt like that. I guess God's got a good sense of humor. If he wouldn't have called you into the ministry and wouldn't have called you. And he wouldn't have brought us all together here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp to cast out devils and to praise God and to exercise the gifts of the Spirit. But, you know, one of these days, that remnant that God has got in Cuba, they're coming forth. That remnant that he's got down in the jungles of Belize, I wish I had another hour to tell you more about them. But, oh, let me tell you, in spite of the tribulation, the trials, the persecution that's coming, I'm looking forward to the same God that has kept us for 34 years on the mission field for keeping us, continuing to keep us. Can I take maybe 5 more minutes? Tell you a few more things. The country that we live in is saturated with sickness and disease. In the jungles, it never frosts. Flies and mosquitoes can stay in business all year long. Ants also. There are flies there that they don't have here. Smaller flies, things like gnats. Some of them carry sickness and disease. Right now, there is an epidemic of one they call dengue fever. I don't know if you've ever heard of dengue fever. And there's different strains of it. Some of them cause hemorrhages. There's no medicine that can cure it. Most people get over it like you do get over a case of the flu. There's an epidemic of malaria in the country. And I've known of several people dying with malaria all around us. I have watched people die with amoebic dysentery. In the main city, Belize City, there are a few canals that run down through some of the main parts of town. We got at least 2 people here present that have been there and seen those sewer canals, and they're open sewer canals. Sewage goes right into those canals, and that breeds all kind of sickness and disease. To go there and take our family, our son was 2 years old when we went, our daughter was 4, I believe, and to live year after year in that country surrounded with sickness and disease. Snakes in the country. I've killed snakes in our house. Where we lived was, when I first built our little house there, it was on the back side of town. It was just jungle back behind us. Later, jungle had been cleared and other houses had been built there. But then snakes wanted to take up residence in our house. One time my wife walked down the stairs one morning and put her foot down on the last step and something rolled under her foot and there was an ugly snake. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what the results is, and in case you really wonder, I want to explain to you that the snake did not kill her. I wanted to tell you that. Isn't that nice? You glad to hear that? I knew you were wondering, so I wanted to explain to you. That snake didn't kill her. Now, aren't you relieved? Snake ran in the cabinet, and rats get in our house from time to time. We had a cat then, and we would, from time to time, we would see signs of rats that, house is made out of lumber, rough lumber from sawmill, and can't hardly keep rats from gnawing holes in it. We would pull out pots and pans because we thought maybe a rat. And the cat learned that that noise meant hunting rats. And the cat outside heard there was a worker. I had hired a worker to do some things around the house. And he came. I was away in the ministry at that time. He came in and was scared, you know, and wanted to shine light. They couldn't see that snake anywhere. The cat heard the pots and pans rattling. She came right in there and come right out with that snake and put him out of business. Praise God for, you see, in all of these things, brothers and sisters, I could tell you some tales, true tales, not evangelistic tales, about trials and tribulation and discouragement and being sick at the point of death. There's been different times that either me, my wife, or one of my children was sick at the point of death. But let me tell you, God has kept us. And He will continue to keep us because He has promised to keep us. In this fifth verse, says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I'm sure that some of those brethren in Cuba, when they were claiming the promises of God during the time of their tribulation, they were remembering the psalm that says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I could say that in Spanish if I wanted to, because my mind is quickened right now to say it in Spanish. It wouldn't help you. I'm sure those brethren in Cuba, when they were under those trials and tribulations and persecutions, they thought of the psalm that says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We are kept by the power of God, brothers and sisters. Glory to God. When I think of the way God delivered, I see those precious children in Cuba, young people, worshiping and praising God. It makes me think of the psalm that says, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy. Is still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heaven, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast created, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. To see all those wonderful people in Cuba, especially young people, that feel themselves free from the threat of atheism, free from communism, although they still got a communistic government, God is in the process of changing it. Let God carry it out according to his process. But they're set free. And it's wonderful to be set free. It makes me think of the psalm that says, when the Lord brought again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The way God has set them free, the way God has set you and me free from demonic bondage. My mind is quickened with another psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. The proud waters had gone over our soul. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven. Our God is our keeper, brothers and sisters. I think of those little children in going back in October. What God has given us to do in October, it's going to help so many of them in there to get a place of worship and to enlarge their church building. And also God is going, He's given us His word and His anointing to pour out to them. But I think I'm quickened with another psalm. Is that all right? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb His reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Are you going to intercede for the children of Cuba? For the very poor people of Cuba? Are you going to have them on the intercessory list? It was on my intercessory list for a long time. After hearing political things about Cuba, I had bitterness. I used to have bitterness toward Khrushchev and Stalin. I remember when Stalin was still alive. And I hated that man. I never had seen that guy before. And then come along Malenkov, and then come along Khrushchev, and then the others. And we, you know, were well taught about them in school. But all when God began to deal with my heart, all hatred and all bitterness went away. And I felt like, for God so loved the world, and I felt like I loved those people and wanted to see them come out of bondage. And I remember the very time, when I was just in just a little while, God just relieved me from that bondage. And I prayed for them, and I interceded for them. Brothers and sisters, it's just about lunchtime, plus 10 or 15 minutes. Can I throw a little more lunch at you? Are you ready to receive a little more spiritual lunch? We are kept by the power of God. God used Peter to say that He has given us great and precious promises of God. I have read the Psalms in the last 3 or 4 years more than any other book. In Spanish and in English. And God quickens them to my mind. I couldn't do it if God didn't do it. Anyway, though, in one of the Psalms, He said His promises. Listen to the promises of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies that are round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When the
thou settest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had seen, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God will keep you from fainting. I feel like now, with the anointing of God that is upon me, I could quote the whole book of Psalms. I feel like I could run over a troop and leap through a wall. All the same anointing is here, brothers and sisters. God will give you courage to look beyond the tribulation, not at the tribulation. We need to understand it. Tonight we're going to hear more about it. Please come tonight. I'm learning more about it. God didn't leave his disciples in the dark. The Apostle Paul told the church, you are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And he said, you are not in the dark. God doesn't want us to be in the dark. But he doesn't want us to be spooked. He wants us to be very strong in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Go forward from this camp meeting conquering for Jesus. God bless you. I'm not even apologizing for taking so much time. Yea, the Lord saith unto his people this day, ye have seen many that have fallen away and have been discouraged, that have not abided steadfastly in me, saith the Lord. And yea, I have said unto my people, that they be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in my work and growing in grace and in knowledge of my truth. But many have not done so, saith the Lord. And I have seen your heart grieved at so many that have fallen by the wayside. Yea, I have made known my ways unto Moses and my acts unto the children of Israel. But the children of Israel were only satisfied at seeing my acts and not knowing my ways. But yea, I say unto thee, in these days there are those that have not fallen away. And yea, I have not given my authority and my power to many that I knew before they ever fell away. They were going to fall. I blessed them as long as they chose to walk with me. But I did not give them my authority and my anointing and my power. But in this generation, saith the Lord, those whom I foreknew, I am predestinating now, because I know you, saith the Lord. I know your steadfastness. I know your sincerity. I know your hunger. I know your labor. I know your faithfulness. I know your dedication. I have seen your tears. I have seen the travail of your soul. I will not turn a deaf ear to my church in these last days. Turn away from you, saith the Lord. Though you feel weak, I will make you strong, saith the Lord. Let the weak say, I am strong. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Let the weak say that I am strong. Gather my people together and those that suck the breast. Yea, let the weak say that I am strong. Prepare for the battle, saith the Lord. For it is not you that's doing the fighting, it is me, saith the Lord. It's my anointing and my power, saith the Lord. Yea, I have seen you struggle and walk to press in. But yea, it's not your ability to press in, saith the Lord. If I should bless you because you press in, you would receive the glory. But yea, it's not according to your power to press. I have principalities and power, saith the Lord. I have made the way. I have removed obstacles, saith the Lord, and you shall go forward in my name, conquering, for I am with you in a great and a mighty way. Those that were not steadfast in me, I did not bless in a great way, but I see your steadfastness, and you are to expect me to bless you in a greater way than you have seen the blessings fall in generations gone by, saith the Lord. Father, we thank you for your mighty anointing, for your counsel that is leading us and that is guiding us. We thank you for this camp. We thank you for this food that has been prepared for us. Bless the hands of those that prepared it. Bless us all in our fellowship one with another, for we ask in Jesus' name. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.